Podcast. Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Sonny Pooney.
Kiss Army, what's up?
Well, a lot is up, man. There's all kinds of stuff going on. You guys have a good week?
Yeah. Busy, but good.
Yeah, staying busy is important. You know, it's one of those things. Mm-hmm. Helps pay the bills.
Yeah.
I hate bills.
I do too.
Everybody out there is like, yeah, I hate bills. You know, I was telling the guys earlier, I did see Metallica last week. You know, thank you for everybody that listened to the show from last week, too. We recorded it real early so I could go to the show. If Metallica comes to your town, spend the $150 and go see the show. It's like, that's a lot of money. But go and see the show. Get a ticket and go. It'll be a lot of fun. I was not disappointed. Let's see. We have news. And there's a lot of news, so I want to get with it, okay?
Let's do it.
Podcast Rock City News.
I'm going to start with Kiss played the Chicago Open Air Show. Did you guys see the pictures?
I haven't even seen the pictures yet, man.
Okay. 35,000 people were there.
Cool.
Yeah. 35,000. The picture of them standing on stage, you know, where they're, you know, got a picture of the crowd behind them, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good picture. I didn't realize that it was in a stadium. I actually thought it was going to be like out. Like in a park or something.
I thought it was going to be like, yeah, down in some kind of street scene.
Yeah, I was wrong. It looks like it's definitely a stadium. But the pictures that I've seen are really cool. They're still doing the Creatures thing.
Yeah. Is there anything interesting in the set list?
No, nothing interesting in the set list.
Same old, same olds?
Uh-huh. Also, in Chicago, Paul and Gene have decided to open up a Rock and Brews in Chicagoland.
Cool.
Chicagoland, I guess it's just a big like mall type thing or something. It doesn't really say. Gene and Paul, this is so hard to read. Forget about it. But they're opening one in Chicagoland. So if you live around there, message me and tell me what the hell it is. No, I don't have one. I don't have a Rock and Brews. Jody, you have a Rock and Brews. Sonny, you have a Rock and Brews?
Yeah, it's in the local casino. It's pretty cool, actually. Skid Row just played there like about a month ago.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we don't have one in Atlanta, and I would have thought we would eventually get one, but it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, Chicago's even bigger people-wise than Atlanta, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So if they didn't have one until now, I guess, you know, we just got to wait our turn. I wish I had the money. I know it's just an investment away.
Totally,
but apparently their chain is doing super well, though. They were just on the cover of some magazine talking about it.
You can get those Kiss waffles there, bro.
Kiss waffles?
Oh, yeah, I got my waffle maker. I bought three of them.
You bought a Kiss waffle maker?
Yeah, it's the Gene Demon Makeup Waffle Maker.
Okay, I've seen the pictures. Where did you find this?
It's on Pagian. I saw it on Twitter, and I'm like, Pagian Brands. And then I went on their website, and they had them, and I bought three of them.
Are they all the Gene?
Yeah, they're all Gene.
Cool.
So why three?
One for me and then a couple for presents.
Oh, okay, you go. That's smart.
Yeah, because I got a bunch of Kiss fans as friends.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so the Kiss Army Root Beer came out and the Kiss Rock and Roll. It's just a Kiss Cherry Cola, you know?
Yeah.
And if you guys get a chance, you go to we have a Podcast Rock City group page now. Go on there. Karen and I did a live testing and tasting of the root beer. We did not do one of the cherry cola. We did the root beer, and the root beer was good, man. You can't really screw up root beer, though, you know. but it was good. The cherry cola I drank separately, and it was like cherry Pepsi, but delicious. I liked it, you know. So now there's three different Kiss sodas out, through the Rocket Fizz company. That's cool, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. You said the root beer had bite too, right? I was watching your Facebook Live thing.
Yeah, a little bit of bite, a little bit of bite. But you know, no more than like a Barks root beer, you know?
Right. Oh. Let me ask you this. Did it have caffeine?
I didn't, you know, I'm not really sure.
Just was curious for Brett's sake.
I don't see anything on the label. I bet it does, you know?
Yeah.
It is the pure cane sugar. It's very smooth, you know, when you drink it.
Did you make like a float and shit, or did you just drink it?
Oh, man. See, now I screwed up. I didn't make a Kiss float. I'm going to go ahead and do that this week.
Yep.
Yeah, that's next.
So how many do you have put away just for your collecting purposes?
Okay, I have one of each.
There you go. So you're not going overboard.
No, man. Some people are doing that, though. And I'm like, apparently, according to the Rocket Fizz people, they're just going to keep doing this. So if I want one, I'll drink it. I don't need to, you know, you can always get it. It's like a bottle of Coke.
So are you recycling the used ones that you're not keeping?
Just you know, hippie, out? I'm not.
I'm just fucking with you, dude.
I know you are.
A Kiss fan would never throw out something with a Kiss logo on it.
All right. I will. Okay, I'll tell you this. They are all on my counter, washed out and left.
Cool. There you go.
Yeah. But I haven't done anything with them. I was thinking about putting like colored sand in
them.
I was
just going to say that, dude. Do the sand shit.
Purple for Paul.
Yeah, dude. That's a great idea.
Okay. A few more things. I'm sorry. We got a lot of news. Okay. The Kiss Cruisers that pre-booked, right, that did the pre-sale. Everybody has started getting our gifts in. Now, if you don't know what that is, every year they send us something. And last year it was like some patches.
Didn't you get like a record last year or some shit?
No, that you get that. I got that on the cruise.
Oh, this is just like pre-gifts.
Uh-huh. Cool. A couple years ago, they sent out a T-shirt. Last year, they did like some patches and stuff and shit like that. This year, it was like a scarf. It's like a winter scarf, man. It's like it's got the icons on it. It says Kiss Cruise 7 on one side and anyway, Kiss World on the other. And then it's got the logo where it's like the two hands holding the earth, you know, earth.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Everybody's getting excited. On Podcast Rock City's group page, I did post the Paul Stanley 5 Things We Learned from his new Ernie Ball String Theory episode. So if you haven't seen that yet, thank you, Jody, for sending that to me. I think it was you that sent that to me.
That thing is sweet.
Yeah, Paul just sitting and playing guitar is cool. That's not something you just get to see. You know what I mean?
Right. And if you do, it's usually an acoustic, not like a dirty amp, you know?
Yeah, and a Les Paul.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was cool because there was messages on our page and some other pages with guitarists saying, man, I've been playing that lick wrong the whole time.
Really?
Right? Because he does a bunch of his riffs.
Yeah.
Paul is so easy to listen to. I could listen to him all day.
Have you listened to his book? The audio book?
Oh, that's how I read it. Because I can't. I don't got the patience to sit down and read a book.
Oh, yeah. The audio book's the way to go. But for Paul's. The Gene one is like kind of brutal. You know? It's just Paul reads it like he's telling it to you, whereas Gene like reads it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll listen, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have two more things. Here we go. A pre-order now. It's official. Ace's 2009 comeback album has been remastered to a deluxe CD and a limited edition double LP picture disc. Only 1,000 to be pressed. So basically, Anomaly is coming back out, and it has 3 new bonus tracks.
I heard one of them.
Oh, you did? I haven't heard it yet. How was it?
It was pretty good. Sounded like Ace.
Yeah, it was, it was just like everything else on that album.
It was Hard For Me, maybe? Was that what it was called?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty good. I like the photo that went with it. You know, Ace had like this guitar he's holding up, and it was like a Les Paul that was in flames. Not just the pickups, but the whole damn thing. It's cool.
Oh, that's cool. And don't forget, if you're in Florida, he's playing there the 20th Let's see. He's playing in Clearwater on the 20th. He's playing at the King's Center in Melbourne, Florida on the 21st. Then he's got at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida with Rat on the 22nd. So go see Ace and tell us what you think. Now, here's the big news. This is the one I've been waiting to share with Jody.
Oh, shit. What we got?
Because I think it's close. I'm not 100%. I'm probably wrong. No, I'm wrong. Okay, but Kiss just announced a new show in Illinois. How close are you to that?
What town?
River Edge Park.
I don't even know where that's at. I never even heard of it. Is it near Chicago though? Is it like northern Illinois?
It doesn't say. It just said.
Damn it.
Just announced Kiss World 2017 is headed to River Edge Park in Illinois on August the 20th.
Let me fucking Google where this place is.
And I was like, isn't Illinois close? Like, that's like the next state over. Am I wrong?
It's in Aurora.
Oh, so it's
northern. I don't know where Aurora is.
I'm looking right now. No, I live on the, basically, I live in St. Louis, but on the Illinois side of the river, like in Fairview Heights, Illinois, which is basically, you know, a suburb of the city, but I can go up my street and see the arch, if you know what I'm saying. I mean,
Right.
I'm just across the river, so I'm technically on the Illinois side. I'm on the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak.
So if you wanted to take a trip, you could go to that show.
Yeah, probably.
Is it real far?
I'm looking. I mean, it's northern. It's up there. But it would be within like four hours, probably.
Oh, that's a lot of hours.
When is it?
The 20th of September, I think it said, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a lot of drive. All right, so that's the news. That was a lot of stuff. Thank goodness. It's so cool when stuff is going on. This week, let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
Yeah, so somebody sent us, who sent us an email? Do you even know?
I believe it was Dean Ditchoff. On Twitter.
Okay. And what did he say?
He had mentioned something about last week's episode, how he liked it and whatnot. And I was like, I hope we have a good topic next week. And then he shot back, well, how about doing the trilogies, you know, the studio album trilogies minus the solo. So, you know, the Holy Trinity and then Destroyer through Love Gun, Dynasty through The Elder, you know, and so forth. So I thought, that's something we haven't done, even though obviously, you had done the Holy Trinity way back when, 4 years ago or whatever, but it's been long enough to take another look, you know.
Yeah, sure. We could do it. So, how do you want to do this? You want to just start talking? We'll just start with Kiss.
Yeah, should we look at them? I think, like, the whole trilogy idea is interesting because it's like, do these albums, they are like little trilogies because each one is like a step in, like, history, you know what I mean? Rather than just individually. I don't know.
Right. People do lump them together.
Because like the first three, obviously, those are the ones that made Kiss Kiss. I mean, if it wasn't for those three, we wouldn't have those songs on Alive.
Right. Absolutely.
So it's like, what does the commercial say? These are the records that started off a rock and roll explosion or whatever.
Right. That's right. So I mean,
it's totally true.
The albums that set off a rock and roll explosion. First, there was Kiss. Then, Hotter Than Hell. Then, Dressed to Kill. The Fire, the Frenzy, the Fantastic Rise of the Kiss Army. The three albums that caused a rock revolution.
So those, as a like you said, are the holy fucking trinity, man. You know?
When you were a kid and you heard that first record for the first time, did the way it sounded bother you at all? Did it sound thin or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I had Alive way before I had the first Kiss debut.
Right.
So I thought it was like, geez, there's no like gain, you know, there's almost clean.
Right. Yeah.
I've grown to like appreciate it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I had heard a bunch of the 80s stuff before I heard the 70s stuff. So it was a big shock to me that it didn't sound as full as some of the 80s stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's not the record. Like, if you were trying to get anyone into Kiss, I don't think you hand them the first album. You know what I mean? Just because of that, it sounds a little kind of weak compared to what they actually sound like live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did we ever do an episode of the show where we were like, if we were going to put a tape together
for somebody? Yeah, we did like a mixtape episode a while back,
okay, I think. I'm just... Okay, I just wanted to make sure we did something like that.
I think we did.
Yeah, I remember, you know, the first time I heard it, I actually got it after I got Alive as well. So I remember being like, what is this? You know, it's almost like I felt like whoever had them in the studio really wasn't sure what to do with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I didn't have any clue who the producer was. You know, I was a kid.
Right.
Yeah. And when I listened to it, I remember going, wow, it doesn't sound anything like Alive.
Nope.
You know, Alive is the game changer. You know, the songs that got put on that game changer came from the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. But I do believe, like, if you had the production of even Dressed to Kill on the first Kiss album, it would be the one you'd hand people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it has all the songs that you that are like core essential Kiss tunes, but it's just the production's kind of weak. That's all.
The other part that was weird for me is I saw Kiss Live. So now we're in the mid 80s. I'm seeing Kiss Live for the first couple of times before I actually have these three albums. So by the time I got these three albums and started listening to the recordings, I'm like, man, why are the songs so slow?
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So my experience was completely different, right? Because I didn't have all these records before I saw them live.
Hmm.
But, you know, all the songs on them are like the core songs, you know.
Those are the ones, you know, that's like truly the ones that did set off that rock and roll explosion, man. I mean, those are the classic tunes. But I mean, I for sure, as far as the first album, I mean, what did you guys think? Like, because obviously something like Love Theme is not on Alive, or even Let Me Know, or is it the only ones that aren't on Alive? But I just remember thinking, whoa, listen to the fucking Nothing to Lose with the piano. And like, I thought that, I don't know, it just didn't have the balls.
Well, I liked Strutter.
Oh, yeah. That's like a classic version of Strutter.
And Cold Gin, it wasn't until later in life that I heard it played fast that I was like, oh, I like it fast. But then when I hear it the original way, I'm like, oh, that's the way you got to hear it, you know?
I still prefer Live. But yeah, I've grown to like appreciate the first Kiss record, but I just don't really like the guitar tones.
You know, it's the end of the record with the that. Oh, God.
The descent.
It's just, that drives me crazy.
And if I had to do it over, I would have probably opened the album with Deuce.
Yep.
Yeah, I would really?
Too. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what they were doing live.
Yeah.
You know, it would work on a record.
Do you think they had any say? Do you think that they just went, or do you think the label said, this is the order?
I think that the label had more to do with it because, I mean, clearly Paul's a better singer and you want that to be what's heard, right?
Yeah, and Strutter's probably more radio-friendly too, I guess.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, that's my only guess, but I still feel that Deuce is a stronger song than Strutter.
You know, I looked it up, and did you know that in Japan, that first record peaked at 54 and spent 5 weeks on the charts?
When? In like later in the 70s, like 77?
That doesn't say.
No, it says the chart, it says 74, because New Zealand, it peaked at 38.
Huh.
And it says 74 on it.
Yeah, 38, I see it. And then for the U.S. pop albums, it was on the charts for 22 weeks. That's not, I don't know, that doesn't sound, I'd like to have a record on the pop charts for 22 weeks.
The top 200, though, or just the top 40?
It's number 87, mm-hmm. Peaked at, you know, I guess it says... It just says U.S. Billboard pop albums. It doesn't say.
Well, I mean, nowadays 87 out of 100 sounds pretty good, but back then that's like total fail, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's get them back in the studio a couple months later. It's crazy.
And that's what they did.
Yeah, that's crazy. The time schedule they were working in. It's kind of mind blowing.
So the second album comes out. What'd you think?
I love Hotter Than Hell, man. I think everything about it is really cool except the production. You know, I love the cover, love the songs. But, you know, why beat that production horse again? But you know how it goes.
Yeah. I would say that out of all the first three records, I have more memories of listening to Hotter Than Hell than I do any other ones.
Really?
Oh, yeah, well, like wow. I feel like I put that record on a lot.
It's because you like the star nipples.
Of course I did.
For me, it was Dressed to Kill.
Me too.
From the first three, Dressed to Kill spun a lot in my house.
At my house, when Dressed to Kill spins, a certain song gets ready to come on, and I run over and I kick the record player so it skips ahead. Because I can't listen to that rock and roll all night beat for anything for my baby.
Hey, it's the anything for my baby beat because it comes first on the record, dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like, Peter, weren't you? Were you like uneventing? You know, inventing. It's like, hey, give us a beat, dude. And then everybody knows that Jane's Addiction went ahead and ripped that song off. I would steal. I've been caught stealing.
Yeah, so close, so close.
It's close.
That's funny because that's the only Jane's Addiction song I like.
Is it really?
Wow, Sonny, yeah, like. What?
Yeah, what? I could listen to it.
Man, I love Jane's Addiction.
I could listen to that record. I could listen to Ritual, just push play and let it go all the way through, man.
And Nothing Shocking. And the like triple X self-titled is pretty killer too.
Man, you don't like that 3 Days song, man? That song.
Oh yeah, 3 Days. Dude,
I couldn't get into those guys.
Yeah, they're from out by you too, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
They are like an acquired taste. Most people that seem to really like them do some type of like drugs. But anyhow, especially in the 90s, like I went to one of their shows and it was like being at a Grateful Dead concert or some shit, you know. Yeah. It's really fun, you know. Man, really
that whole
fun.
Lollapalooza thing though, man, that was Perry Farrell's brain, you know.
Yeah, the dude actually is like an artist.
He was an artist, man. Or he is. He's not like he's dead. They get, and I think they still putting records out, man.
Yeah, no one really seems to care, but man, their old shit was really cool back in those days. Yeah.
You know, you ever go on and look at the liner notes and you see that like Flea played like trumpet and trombone on the records?
Yeah, it's cool.
Which is pretty cool. All right, so Hotter Than Hell. Hotter than hell. What's the song you love the most off that record?
Parasite.
For me, it's Parasite, yeah.
Got to choose. Yeah,
that riff. Just that riff is awesome.
We just heard Sonny do guitar mouth.
Guitar mouth.
It's like that's guitar talk. You know, you walk in with somebody and you go, hey, this is what I want you to play. And you totally get it, right, Jody?
Oh, absolutely. You know? I really love Let Me Go Rock and Roll, even though that version isn't my favorite. But, I mean, it obviously comes off this record. You got to have that one. Got to have it.
Yeah.
I think Hotter Than Hell, like, song-wise, is pretty much just as strong as either one of the other two, you know, in this little trilogy.
You know, when you look at the songs, though, man, they're all good.
I know. The only weak one to me is, like, All the Way, but I still like it.
All the Way? Yeah.
Me too.
You know, Going Blind, great song, man. It's like, you know, most people didn't even realize that was, like, a... You know, never even heard it until the Unplugged thing, you know?
That blows my mind.
Yeah, and I wasn't into it until I heard the Unplugged one, and I'm like, maybe I should give it a chance again, and then I fell in love with it.
Yeah, watching you, Mainline, Coming Home, Strange Ways, damn.
It's a great album.
Yeah, that's a great record, man. I don't think there's anything I would change on that record, not even like the line, like how it goes, you know?
Yeah, the only thing anyone really... has to complain about is that it's a little muddy, that's all.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, everything about it's just so rad. The cover, the songs, you know, it's just cool. It's probably my favorite Kiss album cover. Just so cool.
Yeah. You remember when Anthrax did
Parasite.
They did Parasite, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And then they also did Watching You. I'm looking it up now. I don't remember hearing the Watching You.
I think Watching You was
Stomp 442.
I don't know. I was thinking Attack of the B Sides or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's what had Parasite.
Oh, okay.
And then the Melvins did going blind.
Yeah.
They were big. They were a big Kiss. You remember there's that story, I don't know if it's true or not, about Kurt Cobain drawing Kiss faces on the side of the Melvins tour bus or something.
Yeah. Also, Love Guns on the back of Nevermind.
Yeah, that's true. You got to look for it, but it's there.
Yeah, clearly there.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, today when I was driving around, I was thinking to myself, you know, anybody out there that ever that does not see the significance of Kiss or the importance of Kiss in music, they just need to look at where music is today, because they, you know, look, without the Beatles, we have no Kiss. But without Kiss, we have no, I mean, there's 50 bands.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
How, you know, Kiss did not change the way music was written. They didn't change the way it sounded. They, what they did was they inspired people to pick up the guitar.
Yeah. And they also, like, changed the way people see a concert. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, they raised the bar that, like, everyone's at now. Like, for the last 20 years or whatever, everyone has explosions and fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody has confetti now.
Yeah, and whether they admit it or not, that's all like a nod to Kiss.
To Kiss, you know. And so, you know, when you have, when you read about all these bands that are like, oh yeah, you know, look, without, you know, and I'm not saying that these people would have never picked up a guitar, but you know, you, when you have some, when you have like, I can't think of, Tom Morello saying, I picked up a guitar because of Kiss Alive, you know?
Yeah.
Then they're directly responsible for inspiring the guy who, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally true. The thing that, yeah, about Kiss inspiring musicians is Kiss is one of those bands that were able to inspire young kids to want to pick up a guitar. You know what I'm saying? Like, a band like, say, like the Rolling Stones, a seven-year-old kid could give a shit, but a band like Kiss with their image, kids were eating it up, you know, and they wanted guitars, and even if it was only to kind of fulfill that superhero vibe, they still wanted the guitar, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, they wanted to look cool.
Yeah, to be that superhero. But because of that, yeah, they inspired like an entire generation after generation of people, you know, me, you, all kinds of motherfuckers. Not just like, you know, Mike McCready or the Skid Row guys and people like that. And, not just famous still, people, you know?
Yeah. And still, I always go back to the, you know, the Guns N' Roses thing, you know, where Steven Adler talks about meeting Slash at school, and he brought him home and put on his Kiss records and did, he said, I did all my Ace Frehley poses.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You know, and that, you know, he was serious about that. That, you know, that was a true thing, man. Ace, you know, he always looked like he was teetering.
Yeah.
But he, cool. But really, what he was doing was being cool.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They gave up on this album too quick. Only one single. I get it that maybe they didn't go gold right away, but man, they gave up on this album a little too quick.
Yeah, I mean, each record, they gave them like 6 months. That's like nothing. You do like pre-sale like hype for 6 months nowadays before the record even comes out. These guys are like, put out a record, fuck it, it's not even doing anything. 6 months later, another one. You know what I mean? That's really crazy.
It was weird because later on, it would happen. Even the biggest artists, you know, whether it was Michael Jackson or Prince or whoever, they would release the album, but then the singles were coming like every 6 months, so the album lasted years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Think about like someone like Def Leppard in the 80s. That whole hysteria thing lasted for, it seemed like, for like 5 fucking years.
It did forever. It, man, it went on forever. They came to town like 4 times.
It's insane. Oh, yeah. How can someone milk that for that long? That's just crazy.
But, you know, as great as we think the Hotter Than Hell album is, you know, Def Leppard just, you know, they had a few things going for them at, when they put that Hysteria record out, though, man. Because, you know, they had the whole story of the one-armed drummer and the tragedy that he went through. And, yeah, you know, it did give them some publicity, and it did create interest, you know. True. And if you think about how many years was it between, you know, Pyromania and Hysteria? It was, you know, 3 years, maybe?
Yeah, and then MTV didn't do them. they didn't exactly hurt him either, right?
No, MTV. Every time he turned around.
MTV, like, relentlessly.
Yeah.
There's a video for, like, every song, I think.
Oh, dude.
Def Leppard was, like, to me, like the like a boy band.
Oh, yeah. I never saw it that way. That's that's true.
Like a rock version of Duran Duran.
Yeah.
But not as good as songs as Duran Duran.
I'm a little freaked out because my son just walked up behind me in my room wearing a wrestling luchador mask and carrying a fake machete.
Oh, shit.
And I did piss him off earlier, and I was a little nervous when I saw the fake machete. I didn't realize what was going. Why are you laughing, son?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said, I'm sorry. All right, go. Go.
What's up, Jace?
Hey, the boys say hello.
Hello, how are you
doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, yes.
Please don't hack up your dad.
It's like, wow. I looked and I was like, oh no. Uh-oh. This is how Halloween started. It's like,
this is Ken Sharp, author of the KISS book Behind the Mask and Nothing to Lose, which I co-wrote with Gene and Paul. You're listening to Podcast Rock City.
All right, third record.
The Angels, you can hear them in the background, like.
The third album, Dressed to Kill, is my favorite out of the three. There's not a bad song on it.
Nope. Except for Joe's favorite, but we won't go there.
I would steal. I would will and deal.
I'm gonna tell you, if when we're at when we go to the expo in Nashville, if a band gets on stage and plays that song, I'm going to figure out a way to pull the power. All right.
That's funny.
I would.
Dressed to Kill, though, dude. It's just so fucking good. Even if you don't like that one song, what else on there sucks?
The everything on there rules. Good. It does. The record is good. And I'm going to get some hate mail. PodcastRockCity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. Sonny, you're still new, but you got to be quick, man.
I know.
Yeah, that's an extra edit I got to make later.
Yeah.
The first thought that went through my head was SL Numero Uno. I don't know why it came out Spanish.
That's pretty cool, too, because apparently we do have some people in, like, Brazil that listen.
A lot of people in Brazil. Hello, Brazil. If I said it well, I'm, yeah, hey.
You say it like Paul.
Yeah. He's Brazil.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like what he does.
Okay, so this record came out. I mean, all three of these records came out within how much time of each other? First record to third record.
18 months, I think, right? Was it 18 months?
I ain't looking at the stats, but yeah, I mean, the first two, I think Hotter Than Hell was like October 74, and Dressed to Kill was what, March?
Oh, it was all within 13 months. February 74 to March 75.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
People were lucky back then, even though most people didn't really know about them at the time, obviously. But, I mean, you were lucky if you did, because it's like, boom, another record. Boom, another record.
Now, it says that the length of the record's 30 minutes and 7 seconds, but I always read that it was under 30 minutes.
Like 28:59 or some shit is what,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's like I think they padded between the songs to make it a little longer. So maybe that's the official. There's like the difference between with the extra, you know, silence between songs that it's extra long or without.
Right, right.
Maybe. I don't know.
They don't do a ton of these songs live. That's too bad. I wish Room Service was in the set list.
It is strange that they only kind of play a few of these.
I've seen them play Room Service, Two Timer, Ladies in Waiting, Getaway, Rock Bottom, She. On the first Kiss cruise, they played a lot of this. Yeah. I have the video that some bootlegger put out. I have it, you know, and I watch it every once in a while. And yeah, they played a lot of that, you know. So luckily, I've seen it live, but it's not, you know, something that you're going to pay for a ticket to the fairgrounds and hear.
Yeah.
It's odd that way, because I think these are some of the greatest, strongest Kiss tunes. I mean, there's a couple that are maybe a little slightly weak. Like maybe Two Timer isn't quite as strong as some of the others, but I don't know. To me,
every Kiss cruise, they do Getaway.
Yeah, it's a great song. One of my favorites, actually. But What I love about Dress to Kill is just the way it sounds. To me, it's probably my favorite Kiss production because it's just bare bones, dude. The drums don't have a lot of reverb on them, you know what I mean? And it's just punchy. And I love the kind of acoustics under the guitars. It thickens it up. And to me, like, I used to have one of those big fucking, you know, those old school, like, record, like, console record players that are made of, like, wood.
Yeah, open up. You had to open up the hatch and shit.
They, and it had the 8-track with it.
Yeah, 8-track. And this one even had, like, a cassette deck on it. So it was probably from, like, the 80s, maybe. But I had, like, got it from my grandmother. Anyways, it had two 15s in it, right? And, dude, nothing ever sounded as good to me on vinyl as that Dress to Kill turned up to maybe, like, 4 or 5 on that old-school stereo. And the actual wood and the two 15s, it would sound like a fucking concert, dude. And a lot of the other Kiss records were a little hotter, so they would distort sooner, you know what I mean? So, to me, Dress to Kill is the very best Kiss sounding like production. I love it. Love everything about it.
Man, I would love to be able to go somewhere and buy one of those damn things.
You can find them, you know, like sometimes at those like antique shows and shit.
But do they work, you know?
But some of them are made with like, you know, of mahogany. Some of I've seen maple ones.
They're
pretty sweet. I'd love to have one again. I don't have the one that I used to have.
I'd buy all the A-tracks.
Yeah.
Slap them in there. Yeah. I bought a I had an 8-track player a while back, you know, a few years back, and I would just go on eBay and look, there's Rock and Roll Over for $8. Boom, I'd buy it, and then I would play it in the I would listen to the 8-track until it tore because they're all dried out, you know.
Let me ask you this: like hearing them in a modern, more modern times, how do they sound? Because in theory, they should sound fucking great. That's like a 1/2-inch tape, right?
Yeah, I thought I always liked it, man. I mean, I had Kiss Double Platinum on 8-track, and I sat in a corner with my mom's big ass headphones with the long curly
cord, cord,
you know. And I would sit there hours and hours and hours and listen to it.
I like picture you in one of those like egg shaped chairs from the 70s.
Oh man, you know, it's my dream to have an egg chair. I never had one, but. I'm not kidding. I always wanted an egg chair, man. Like in Dazed and Confused, they're sitting in one, you know? And I always wanted one, but, you know, whenever you find them, there's so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus,
so,
to ship it would be like would suck.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, the 8-track sounds good, man. It didn't sound dusty or dirty or anything. It just put it in. And, I had when I was a kid, man, I had Kiss Alive 2, but I only had the first A-track out of the two of them. So
still got a lot of good ones in that first side.
I did, but, you know, it was like, damn.
Yeah. When did they stop making A-tracks? Like, what is the very, like, last Kiss A-track that you could even get?
You know, I honestly don't know, but I have seen where somebody, where, you know, you could record your own A-tracks back in the day like you could a tape.
Really?
And I think that if you go online, like on eBay, people have like made like custom Elder ones.
Really? Because I want to say I think I saw like an Animalize one on somewhere one time.
Yeah, see, I've never seen that. The latest I've seen is Dynasty. I've never seen anything past Dynasty.
Yeah. Elder, I think, was custom made, though, when I saw it. I'm sure somebody out there listening's got it. I'm looking up Elder 8-track right now.
And then look up when did they stop production of 8-tracks. That's what I'd like to know.
All right, so it does look like this is not a custom made. Let me read about it. So the Elder 8-track, music from the Elder 8-track cassette is actually, it doesn't say sealed. Description. No, it just says not play tested. Looks like it's in visual good condition. Okay, so it doesn't say that it's. It says that it's on Casablanca Rock, 1981 is when it says that it came out. Guess how much they're asking for it? Ready?
45.
170.
50. Oh wow!
Damn.
So apparently, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
And according to Google, 8-tracks got phased out by late '82. But you could still order them through Columbia House till late '88.
Till when?
Till late '88.
'88. Wow.
Yeah.
Find like an appetite for destruction. Fucking 8-track.
All right, I'm Googling it right now.
Crazy Nights, okay. Freaking 8-track. That'd be cool.
I'm sure this is stuff that's left over from the 70s and 80s. I doubt they made more 8-tracks.
Right. That would just suck to have, like, it would probably, like, turn out on, like, the Elder one. Like, they would switch tracks, like, in The Oath or, like, in one of the best songs, you know? That would suck.
Right in the middle. Click.
And it, like, fades back in.
Man, my mom had an 8-track player in her car. We'd be listening to Rex Smith driving down the road, you know, and she'd hit a speed bump and it would click to the next track.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then you couldn't get back, right? Because you couldn't rewind them.
There's no rewind. I had a buddy that had an 8-track, and when we would drive to school, when he stepped on the gas, the tape player went faster. And we slowed down.
That's weird. So Trilogy, right? We're totally off track here.
Yeah, that happens.
I'll tie it back in for you. Even on the 8-track, there's a missing fucking S.
Yeah, there is. The missing S on the right-hand side that I didn't even notice until I heard Matt talk about it on the Kiss Room.
See, I'd always noticed it, but I just never really thought much of it. I don't know why. I just was like, whatever. I guess there just wasn't enough room.
There's a couple different versions, you know. One has got the raised up letters, and you can buy it where it's flat.
Actually,
too.
You know, there's a like an urban Kiss myth that, you know, how it was always like kids in Satan's service. Well, since there's the very last one on that record going around the circle, it was supposed to mean Kiss is Satan for the closer.
Whoa!
Ooh, start a rumor.
It's totally true.
People come up with the craziest
stuff. I just made that up. But let's start our own little rumor and see how far people will push it.
So that's it right there. Kiss is Satan.
Kiss is Satan. Nice.
That's what the KIS stands for.
And Paul is dead.
Yes. Oh, man, don't say that. I'm sad now.
No, McCartney.
I know. Anyway. Okay. So anything else about that record? How long have we been? I feel like we've been talking forever.
Yeah, because we started early before we started recording. But no, man, it's the greatest Kiss album they ever recorded in a studio. That's all I got to say about it.
And Jody is 100% right.
My opinion is completely right to me, you know. But maybe not for you guys.
The two of you are the same way, though. You both feel that way. And for me, I would say that I listen to Hotter Than Hell more than I listen to the other ones. It's really hard for me to choose because all of them are really good, man. There's, you know,
oh yeah.
If you own the first three Kiss records, you have a nice set that represents early Kiss. Yeah, if you don't have a live album, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of like this is act one of the Kiss story, you know what I'm saying? Because act two is a whole new plateau of a cultural phenomenon, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we may have to make this might just have to maybe like a part one.
This will be part one. The first Kiss trilogy.
Or should we use the Trinity?
Trinity.
Like you did back in the day. Yeah. I like that.
I just want to look. I got an email from Podomatic, the company that hosts our podcast, and they let us know that 2 days ago we turned 4 years old.
Happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it. Listen. You know, I can't do it without you guys. You know, I really appreciate the people that listen. Jody, Sonny, Andrew, D-Rock, Matt Porter, Ken Mills, you guys all helped at some point, you know.
And Chris Sinzak.
Chris Sinzak, absolutely. You know, everybody's helped at some point. Everybody is, you know, I've gone to somebody and said, what am I doing? How do I do this? You know, and it goes all the way back to when I started doing 15-minute shows all by myself after my friends bailed on me, you know.
Right.
And Ken Mills called me and said, I sent you an email, man. It's got a shortened intro. Your intro is too long. And I've been using it ever since, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and like you know, the first time I did a whole show for a year, that's when I had everybody on, you know, the KST. I had Adam from KST, and I had Jody, and I had Andrew, and I had Matt. And who else did I have? cool. Did I have cool Uncle, Uncle Jeff? At that point?
I think you had Mitch. Yeah. Mitch was on.
Mitch, yeah, Mitch was on. So yeah, man. So like I said, 4 years. Thank you very much.
And hell yeah, should we mention how we need their help to get to this million in August?
Oh yeah, go ahead, Jody. Talk about that.
Well, basically, we're close to another million for this in a year's time. On Podomatic, our stats only go back for a year, right? So we can only find out what we've done in a year's time. But as of this time last year up until now, we're sitting at, like, I think 970-something thousand plays and downloads combined. So we're getting close to that million. I'd love to hit it before we get to the expo in August. So
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell all your friends about us, please.
That's my little pitch. Yeah, you know, and don't forget – on Wednesday nights, man, Jody and D-Rock and I are on live. You know, there's no filter. There's no editing. We push go, and we are on live on KGFRocks.com. And I'm in talks with them right now to rerun our show in case it's Wednesday night at 8:30 on Eastern time. So wherever you are, you got to adjust. But I'm talking to them now about rerunning our show on Saturday afternoon. So if you miss it, you can check it out again.
The radio show or the podcast?
Radio show.
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah. So, because I've been getting messages from people in other countries that are going, I'm sleeping, but I want to hear it. How do I hear it? You know? And we can't share it because it has music in it.
Right.
We could cut out the music and put that on the web, but that's it.
Yeah.
And we may still do that.
That's like how we did for the Bruce episode. I think we should only really do that for really killer episodes. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to have to tune in.
Yep.
Something special like a Bruce or, you know, when Paul Stanley comes on. We'll definitely share that with you folks.
Yeah. And he's coming on in when again? When is Paul Stanley coming on again?
I think it was when Hell freezes over, something like that.
Yes, I think so too.
You never know. It could happen.
Yeah, or when we win the lottery and can offer him a little bit of cash.
Yeah, Sonny, you live out there in California. Just go knock on his door.
Yeah, that won't get me too arrested.
Yeah, I get a case like Mr. Stanley.
If you just start hanging out with Evan, then maybe he'll introduce you.
Can you, Sonny walks up to the door and pushes the doorbell, and you hear that dun 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 dun, and his door's made of that twisty, foldy metal type stuff.
Paul's like, it's Lifestyles.
Yeah, I got the Manlow thing at midnight.
I'm going to see Gene in 3 weeks, so maybe if I get a chance to ask him, I'll ask him.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, balls up. Walk right up. So you're going to meet him too?
Well, he doesn't have meet and greet packages for the Riverside show.
Really?
So I'm hoping I get called up to do I Love It Loud or something. I'm going to tap him on the shoulder.
Well, okay, that sounds awesome. Yeah, just tell him, hey, man, you got to come on my show.
Do what I did and lurk in the background of the venue until he gets there.
Podcast Rock City. Yeah! If it's too loud, you're too old.
Listen, Jody, got anything to add?
I have to add what I always have to add, which is thanks everyone who listens, and special thanks going out to our buddy Dean. Thanks for the topic idea, bro. And we will continue with the trilogies, you know, so stay tuned for that. Thanks so much, bro.
Absolutely. Sonny?
Guys, thanks everybody. Wanted to also thank the Decibel Geek podcast guys, because they have a Kissmas in July going on right now, and they let boneheads like me sometimes write some blogs, so I got an opportunity to write a couple of things. And I just did a Kiss Animalized Live Uncensored video review that should go up in the next couple of days, so it should be fun.
Awesome. We'll make sure that we post that to our page as well. Don't forget, man, there's all kinds of ways to follow us, whether it's on Podomatic or iTunes. Leave us reviews, man. We really like that. You guys have done some great ones. Sonny left us a great one.
Yeah.
It had all the song titles in it. It was cool. Next week I'm going to put a challenge to you guys. Okay.
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 All right. Next week I want you guys to put together. Okay, so if Kiss didn't put solo records out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And instead put a Kiss record out, I want you to pick three songs from each record and put a Kiss record together.
But do we have to use three from each?
Yeah, do we have to?
You have. Yes.
Damn. Do they have to be sang by the people who sang them?
Yes, three from each, you man. Peter haters. Golly.
I know that's you don't tough. Hate Peter.
You can do tough. It, man. Yeah, maybe you're going to listen to the Peter record and get done with it and go, you know what? It's better than Aces. I like it. It's good.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
All right, you know what I'm going to say. Thank you guys for listening. We listen to podcasts and Kiss podcasts, and we play their commercials after the show, and you're going to hear them in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on-site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, Kiss, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet-and-greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collected Soul, Taiketto, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockinPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Feast your ears!
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater. The most civilized?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podkissed. The Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podkissed. Every month, the podkissed crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else. Whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
Strange way.
Greetings from Jandel, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.